Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the All Employment Network Payments call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Janet Cousins. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the monthly All-EM Payments call. Thanks again for joining us today. We do hope that this call continues to help you understand the many intricacies of the payment processing for Ticket to Work program. This is Janet Cousins. I'm supervisor of the EM Payments help desk. Joining me today is Kathy Dyson, consultant and training coordinator with the Ticket Operations program. We also have joining us is Desiree Fitzgerald, Natalie Sendeldorfer, and Katie Streibinger from the Social Security Administration Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support team. Now, we will be using a presentation for today's call, which you should be able to see through the web link. If you would like, you can access the presentation on our website at yourtickettowork.com. It's been posted under the events page for the call, and just look for today's date there. This will be an interactive session, and you will be invited to ask questions at the end of the presentation, as mentioned. We do ask that when you ask your questions, you don't provide any information regarding personal cases, just to ensure confidentiality. Now, you can also ask questions in our chat room, and if we're not able to answer any questions during the call or during the chat, we'll certainly follow up with you at a later time. Okay, well, let's get started. Today's agenda is action-packed, actually. We're going to provide an update on the new ticket portal. As you know, we launched on June 15, and we've been enrolling participants or employment networks and BRs since that date. We'll also provide an update on the e-pay process, which I'm sure a lot of you are anxiously awaiting. Then we'll provide some time again for the questions and answers at the end of the call. First thing we'd like to do is just review our calendar of events. As mentioned, on the 15th of this month, we did the initial ticket portal implementation. There were over 400 users that were sent welcome messages and given access to the new ticket portal. It's been a great launch for us, and we're very excited about that. We hope you are too. We've gotten some good feedback on the tool. We have also hosted several orientation sessions, and we want to make sure that if you haven't participated in one of those sessions, that you take the time to join us tomorrow afternoon for our next session. A couple of other key things to mention is at the end of today, so there on June 30th, end of day today, the secure provider portal that was disabled for transactions back on the 16th will actually be shut off completely this evening. If you would like to access that tool to print off any reports, extract any information, please plan to do that before end of day today. We will also be disabling the IVR function, and so again, by end of day today, first thing tomorrow, those tools will no longer be available because the new ticket portal does provide all of the functionality that you're able to perform for those functions. Keep that in mind. Continuing into July, we will have the Wednesday orientation sessions each week through the end of the month, and then we'll also begin some more detailed and focused Ticket Training Tuesday sessions on the ticket portal functionalities. On July 7th, we'll start with the ticket assignment process, and we'll spend a good hour talking through ticket assignments and all of the features and functions in the new ticket portal on that day. The following week, we'll be zeroing in on payment processes. So you'll have some time to review in more detail the three features in the ticket portal related to payments status and payment request submissions, and answer some ask some detailed questions if you like during that session. On the 21st, we'll then focus on the TPRs, timely progress reviews. So these are some additional training opportunities for you to learn more and understand more about this new tool that should assist with your productivity and your managing your business. All right, let's also take a look at some of the portal process efficiencies. On this slide, we're looking at, on the left side, the various functions that you may need to perform for the program. We'll speak to the portal activities and process that you'll follow, and then the manual process is also included on this slide. So, for example, checking assignability. From the new ticket portal, you enter an SSN, and in a matter of less than a minute, you have your assignability status. It's great. If you're not using the ticket portal, and again, after the IVR and secure provider portal shut down this evening, the manual process is to fax or mail that information to the operations support manager, and we'll process those and get them back to you within 7 days. The fax number is listed here. Our fax number has not changed. Similarly, for single ticket assignments, through the new ticket portal, you'll be able to access that real time. A lot of these functions are real time. You'll see instantly you can create and request a payment. There's timely progress review activity that will be available there as well. And then on the manual processes for each of these functions, there is our fax number there where you will have to fax that information to us, and we'll follow up in various turnaround times. So, again, we strongly encourage you to register, if you have not yet, for the new ticket portal so you can take advantage of this real-time activity and immediate processing of these particular functions. At the bottom, there's various reports that you have access to, the current ticket assignment report. There's two payment status reports, one that shows all of the closed payment requests that have been paid or denied. There's a report there that you can see for any pending payments. It'll show you your diary status if they have been diaried. And so, again, you can see that instantly, and it is real time. This is just a more detailed slide in regards to payment requests. So we still have the payment request form available for you on our yourtickettowork.com website that you can print or download. You'll have to complete that form, all sections, and fax it to us at the number listed here, or you can mail it to our P.O. box as shown on this page as well. In terms of payment status, again, without access to the new ticket portal, you will have to keep track of your payment request through your own methods. Now, our payments help desk is available if there's any questions regarding your payment request. If you need any assistance completing the form, there is instructions on our public website on how to complete the form, but certainly if you have any policy questions, any questions regarding your payment request that you've submitted, you're welcome to call our payments help desk at 866-949-3687 or send an email message to us as well. All right, so let's take a little bit of time to look at some of the new enhancements that came in. As most of you should know, there was a new release that came in a week after the initial launch of the ticket portal. So if you started using the ticket portal the week of the 15th, the following weekend of the 20th, we had some really nice enhancements that came in for payments processing that we want to take some time to share with you today. All right, so the first feature is related to some automatic programmatic checking that occurs at the time that you submit your payment request. So when the ticket portal checks, well, at the time that you submit your payment request, you're going to enter the SSN or you're going to choose a beneficiary from the list of beneficiaries assigned to you. You'll indicate your SSN or that name. You'll enter the claim month. So here we've got December 1st in the example. You'll select your payment method if it's not already displayed for that as a ticket holder. And then again, you'll see in the display here that there's a message. This blue box is where messages are going to be displayed to you. So at with this new release, the ticket portal is doing a programmatic check to see if there are sufficient earnings in the Social Security Administration records. Each time you submit your payment request, this check will be performed. And if there are sufficient earnings, then you don't need to provide any. So again, these are all evidentiary payment requests that are submitted through the new ticket portal. So in this example, there's a message here indicating that SGA earnings have not yet been established for this claim month. With that message, that's an indication for you that you must add earnings in. So you would click yes in the box there, and it'll take you on to the next screen to allow you to enter those earnings. However, there's also an indication here in this example that it lets you know when earnings have already been established for the claim month. So here, in this case, the system has automatically verified that there have been earnings reported into the various databases. And in this case, no further action is needed on your behalf. So all you'll need to do at this point is click submit. The work case will be created. You'll be given a reference number, and you can go and monitor it in the pending payments for me screen. Very nice. You no longer have to key in any earnings or submit any evidence in this case. An additional message that you may see is that it will identify if you're attempting to submit a payment request for a claim month that has already been paid in some form. So the message here, a payment of some kind has already been made for this claim month, refer to a payment list for this beneficiary in this portal for further information. So that lets you know that in some shape or fashion, there has already been a payment submitted for this particular claim month. You can go back to the main menu. You can look at your list of beneficiaries. There's an action screen that would allow you to look at the payment history for that ticket holder. And that way, you'll be able to see what that payment history is, and you can go and submit a payment request for the correct claim month in the event that there is one that's eligible for you. So there's a lot of smart programming that has been built into the system to assist you in avoiding duplicate payments. We talked about this a few months back in our meeting when we looked at various reasons why payment requests are denied. And one of the reasons we reviewed was if there is a duplicate payment. So this now will do that checking for you. Again, if there's any question about it, you're welcome to call the Payments Help Desk, and we'll be able to review that with you. But you do have the ability in the new ticket portal to review that payment history and verify why this message came up, or even before submitting your payment request, go back and look at the most recent payment request that was submitted. So again, the last comment here is, you know, when you get this message, you click close. You can go back to view the pending payments for me screen from the main menu and review that payment history for that SSN. All right, another nice feature that came in with the June 20 release is the ability to generate an additional fax cover sheet. So again, you portal users that have used the system to submit payment requests, you should be aware that when you are needing to key in earnings and provide evidence of those earnings, you are also prompted to print a fax cover sheet to send those earnings in. That fax cover sheet can only be used once. So if for some reason maybe you left out a pay stub and you realize you've already faxed it in and you need to add that pay stub, or maybe there's an outreach, maybe you've submitted some documents, there's not enough to meet the trial work level, so you've received a message from the payments help desk asking you to send in additional evidence of earnings, and so you need to print another fax cover sheet. Now you can. So from the More Action screen, again, you'll be going into the View Pending Payments for Me from the main menu first. That's step number one over here. You'll locate the payment request and click on the Actions tab for that particular work case. From that Actions tab, you'll see this More Action screen. In this More Action screen, there's several options here, and the third option down is Fax Additional Information. Once you click that, you'll see another window, this one down below here, and that window is prompting you to indicate what type of document you're faxing in. So you choose the appropriate option, and then you would save and print that fax cover sheet and send in that document with that newly generated fax cover sheet. Again, it's another nice feature that allows you to generate that fax cover sheet. Again, the fax cover sheet, once it's faxed in to the 866 number indicated on the document, it is automatically received, programmatically uploaded into our system, and automatically associated with that work case, so that our payment processor will see that document and be able to review your payment request more quickly. A lot of automation in this new system. All right, so the next feature that we wanted to make sure that you were aware of is the Show Fax Status. This is another nice feature that will allow you to receive confirmation on whether the fax was actually received or not. So again, from that same action screen that we reviewed before, there is an option here called Show Fax Status. Once you click here, that status screen is shown below, and there's some good information here. You'll see the date that the fax was requested. The fax requester, so this is the name of the individual who requested the fax cover sheet. It is a member of your network, your employee. Their ID will be shown right there. Once the fax is received, the fax receipt date will be indicated there. One thing that you can do if you're not sure or you don't remember, maybe you're submitting multiple payment requests, you've generated multiple fax cover sheets, you did not send it in right away, you're trying to follow up before the 9-day diary period expires, you can come here, you can look at this and see which fax requests are still pending because there will not be a date in that receive date field. Otherwise, you're welcome to come here and verify, yes, we did receive it, and you'll see that date listed there. Okay. Now, this is only exclusive to those fax requests that were submitted or requested, through the ticket portal. if you send any faxes to the operations support manager number for your manual process, you will not see the status of those here. That's all tracked manually. We will manually upload those into the system on the back end, and they'll be reviewed by the appropriate team. But they're not updated here in this system. All right, so just to review the three key enhancements that came in relative to payments. Again, we have the automatic check for earnings and some new messages that you'll receive based on whether earnings have been proven in the various SSA systems that are linked to the tool. You'll be told if no earnings were found and you must key in earnings and provide the evidentiary evidence for those earnings. You'll also be told if the particular claim has already been paid, and the system will not allow you to submit a claim in those cases. The fax additional documents feature is really nice if you need to send some additional information for an existing payment request. And the fax status screen gives you the option to verify if your fax has been received to us or not. It's summertime, employees may be taking vacation. If, someone didn't follow up with faxing in a document, you can certainly go out there and check and see that it's pending before that 9-day diary period expires. All right, so let's talk about ePay. As you may recall, there was the CUBRA reports were removed from the old secure provider portal. We've been talking about ePay expansion and some future enhancements to it. Well, the time is near. So the new ePay process will begin at the end of July. June will be the last run of the quarterly process. So those of you that are involved with the quarterly ePay process, this month is the last month that we will run that process. We will be replacing quarterly ePay altogether. Now, the good news is no sign-up is required. So unlike Universal AutoPay, there's no sign-up required at all. All active tickets will be considered in this new ePay process. Once a month, we'll check the system for any earnings that exist there, and we'll be creating a file of all beneficiaries that are qualifying you for a payment. This will be analyzed, and each case will make daily payments throughout the month as appropriate. So this is an automatic ePay process that you really have to do nothing for. It's going to happen automatically every month beginning at the end of July. And one key thing related to this is, since we are offering this ePay process to everyone, we are considering elimination of the certification payments process as an option because, again, this is based on evidentiary evidence, and it's going to be automatically performed every month. Once the cases are generated for ePay, then a lot of the certification payments options may no longer be needed. So we're real excited about ePay happening. I hope you are too. There's been lots of questions related to ePay. And so this update hopefully will help answer some of those questions and, help automate this process for your business. Okay, well, that's it. We have covered all of the key topics that we wanted to review with you today. We've got plenty of time left for questions and answers, and we'd like to welcome you to ask those questions of us now. Shanika, if you can open up the lines, let's see what our first caller is asking.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press pound. One moment for your first question, and again, that's star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Shelley Paquette.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, and I've asked it once before on another call, but I just wanted a little more clarification. When the Cuber went away, we've gone a distance now before ePay is going to fully kick in for us. So to kind of do a look back for any potential missed payments that would occur during that time, I was told that when a payment is identified or there's earnings that could generate a payment, they'd be doing a look back. So now my question goes further than that they'd be looking for potential payments on any current identified payments. What about those that aren't current payments that maybe, a month back there might have been a payment that would have been available that we'd be missing? And there's no current payment that's being flagged. Does that make sense?
Right. So you're asking about the time period that has passed since Cuber was stopped and
correct.
Today, and whether the ePay process that will launch at the end of July will take into account and look back at those months that have passed and generate any payments for that period.
Correct.
Okay.
Regardless of whether there's a current flagged payment or not, just a look back generally on everybody kind of.
Right. Katie, can you answer that question for us, please?
Sure. Can we hear? Okay, sure. This is Katie Strebinger. I'm
going
to answer that question. So what we're going to do is it is going to start with a look back. We're going to check our records to see if all the beneficiaries who are currently assigned to you, if there are any earnings in the months that we have not paid you for. So it is going to be a look back for everybody. And then as the months go on, it should just be the payments that we didn't get in that time period.
Excellent.
So as long as there are earnings, as long as the first check is, the ticket is assigned to you, and then the second check is, are there earnings for months that we have not paid you for? And if there are earnings, there are enough earnings to qualify for that payment, then you will get that payment.
Wonderful. Thank
as
you.
As long as, the other criteria is met. But yes, it is definitely, there is always going to be a look back. Every time that we run this file, we're going to look. So, I know that sometimes it takes a while for earnings to post. There could be earnings 6 months ago and they just appear, this month. We will see that you have not been paid for that month. And
okay.
That's what it will check for.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you, Katie. Katie, I have a call, an actual participant here in the chat room. And her question is, will ePay include all milestones that are available?
ePay, this is Desiree. I'll go ahead and answer that. ePay will include milestones and outcome payments. Anything that we have earnings in our record to support will be able to pay under ePay. Remember, these are not certification payments. These are payments where we actually have a record of the earnings.
Excellent. So they're evidentiary payments based on earnings that have been confirmed.
Yes.
Excellent.
Earnings that are in our records, we will be using multiple sources of earnings information. And so whenever we see the earnings, these are the same sources that a payment technician would normally consult in looking to see if a payment were available. But we will just be scanning our record for earnings. And instead of giving them to you as leads, as we did with Cuber, we will be making the payment, which cuts out the step of you having to receive the leads and request the payment. We're checking multiple sources, and you were getting leads for one source, so we're hoping that this will be a superior service.
Excellent. And that's a good point. You know, again, Cuber was a source of information to prompt an EN to submit a payment request. And with the new ePay process, we're eliminating that step. We're actually checking for those earnings with confirmation that the criteria has been met. Then we're going to go ahead and generate the payment, the claim. Great.
Great. Thank you so very much, Desiree and Katie. There is a follow-up to that question, and this is from Ann, and she asked, with the Cuber, we were able to get payments for people who were unassigned, and she was just wanting to know, will there be payments made available to the ENs for those individuals?
Are you asking, was she indicating that they were not assigned at the current time, but they may have been assigned previously at another time that qualified them?
She didn't specify other than unassigned. So these would, I'm assuming, to be ticket holders that were at one time assigned to the actual employment network.
Right.
And then later the ticket was unassigned. And normally, I would assume that the employment network should submit payment requests for those if they feel that they are entitled to payments, if there is a communication of some sort with that particular beneficiary. So with the new ePay system, will SSA look at the unassigned ticket holders?
Okay. I'm going to have to check into the details with regard to that. If you have a split pay agreement on the record and the ticket is no longer assigned to you, then I'm sure we would honor that. But I'm not sure if we would be initiating payments for unassigned tickets otherwise.
Okay.
Great.
But we can double check into that. But
thank you, Desiree.
Great. Well, thanks for those chat questions, Kathy. Shanika, are there any additional questions on the line?
Yes. Your next question comes from the line of Elise Macy.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey there. Okay, so I've been in the new system, and I really like it, and I just had two questions about the system, if that's okay.
Sure.
One of them is I had sent in a payment request today. And then I went into the name and I went into the additional things that you could do, and it was view case notes and manage, thinking I could add a case note. Once you've submitted a payment request, is there not a place you can add a case note for yourself? I didn't see that.
Okay, so let me clarify the case note versus the payment request note. The case notes in the portal are for your use. It's for the EN or VR to add notes for related to the tickets that you can manage. So it's not, those notes are not sent to the operation support manager team. It's not sent to the payment processor. When you're submitting a payment request, there is an option to add a note. That note is going to be sent with your payment request and will be viewable by the payment specialist who's going to be managing that claim for you. So once you submit that payment request, there isn't a way to add a note to that payment request afterwards.
What you do,
if you do have, you know, a comment or you want to relay a message, you're certainly welcome to call the payments help desk or send us an email where we can follow up on that for you.
Okay, yeah, that was my question. And then the second question I had and my final question is there any way they could put on there, instead of having to go year by year by year for payments that we've received, just to put a grand total somewhere in the system, like a tally of everything for us?
Okay, so are you in the pending payments for me or the payments already made to me screen?
Already made to me.
I'm sorry?
Already made to me.
Okay. So, yeah, today there is a one-year a limit on your search. So you can search multiple years, but you have to search 1 year at a time. and that is a current limitation. You're asking for the ability to search multiple years at one time, or?
Well, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, either that or just have some type of a grand total somewhere, and then if you wanted to get it through, you know, biannually, you could just put in the year, the months of the year. But just wondering if there was any way that could be a grand total put somewhere.
Okay. Well, Katie or Des, you know, I'm not sure if that's maybe a enhancement request that we can submit or if there's anything in the funnel that's already considering that. Okay. You know, Elise, I can certainly make a note of that, and we'll get it passed on as a potential enhancement request.
Okay.
You know, I would welcome you to send an email to enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.com with, you know, any details on, you know, what you're looking for.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
And you also have a question from Mark Marsh.
Good afternoon. I'm very happy with the new portal, I must say. But I do have a bunch of questions, so I'm just going to ask my first three and then let other people ask. The first one is for self-employment. I have a beneficiary who actually had a month of over-trial work, so it's a P1M1, and when I went into process of payment, because it's self-employment, there's a little certification that you have to identify or certify that the beneficiary has worked 30 days at trial work. I already know that she went to the local Social Security office and provided evidence of her payment and also her expenses. So I didn't know if I should click on the certification because you're certifying that they are working 30 days above trial work for that P1M1 for self-employment. So that's the first question. Can I go ahead and click off that certification because I know that they did make more than trial work or their earnings after expenses were more than trial work level. The second one is a simple one. After 36 outcomes, does it terminate automatically?
If I can stop you, please, let's take one question at a time.
Okay.
It'll be better for me so I don't forget, okay?
Okay.
All right, so the first one related to self-employment income and this P1M1 that you want to submit, and I'm guessing you have a self-employment income form that you've completed with the earnings, the expenses, the gross, the expenses, and the net, right?
Yes, that form, but now this is in a new portal, and I don't know. I didn't go any past. I didn't hit the certify because I didn't know if that was going to send me somewhere where I would have to certify.
Right. Let me explain that. So the new ticket portal is for evidentiary evidence payment request only. It does not have an option to submit certification payment requests. It is for evidentiary evidence only. When you're keying in earnings, when you submit your payment request and you indicate your document type, there's only three options there. There's the pay stubs, there's the work number, and there is employer-prepared earnings statement. So in the case that you have self-employed income, you must complete the form and fax that into the awesome fax number as a certified payment request. So at this time we're still accepting certified payment requests, but you cannot submit those through the new ticket portal. There's not an option to do that.
Right.
So, again, you're welcome to complete the payment request form, attach that self-employment income form with it, fax it to our awesome fax number, and we'll ensure that we get it over to the payment specialist to process for you.
Okay. Second question, outcome 36, once that's been achieved, does the ticket automatically terminate or expire?
Yes, once the outcome, once the ticket, the total value of that ticket has been satisfied, then yes, you will be notified that that is the last payable payment.
So that means that the ongoing services for that beneficiary would no longer be covered by Social Security for payment after the 36th outcome, and you mentioned the maximum amount. I don't know about that. This is for SSDI. So I'm assuming, and I told the beneficiary that was at outcome 33, when you get to 36, I'm no longer going to be able to support you, but you've been working for over 3 years, so you're all right, that kind of thing. But I think that answers my question. I've got a letter or a notification that it's been terminated or it's expired. The last question is on, you used to have export to an Excel spreadsheet where you could do your calculations and whatnot. I don't see an option for, I see an option for printing out payments made and pending payments, but I don't see anything about exporting to an Excel spreadsheet that you used to have in the old portal. Is that no longer an option?
Well, actually it is. From both the view payments already made to me as well as pending payments for me. So both of those screens have an Excel extract option. You should see it from the main screen there on the upper right, I believe, is where it's displayed. But you certainly can do an Excel extract. Yes, sir.
I will definitely go for that. Now I'll let other people ask, and then I'll come back to my other three questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Your next question comes from the line of Diana Bermadini.
Yes. I just wanted to clarify the difference between e-pay and auto-pay. I kind of understood them to be two different animals, but now it sounds like they're all going to be combined in e-pay. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's a lot of enhancements that have been in the works that in some cases there may be this blending of auto pay and e-pay. One of the things that, the e-pay is electronic payment, I mean, is what the terminology refers to, but with this enhancement that will be coming at the end of July where there's an automatic review of earnings in the system, automatic payments that are going to be made as a result of that electronic earnings verification, there is some blending that's occurring there with the terminology. Another way that people look at auto pay is through the enhanced functionality that the ticket portal has where it's automatically checking earnings each time you submit a payment request. So there is a lot of automatic and electronic payments that are happening going forward. I'm not sure if the SSA team has a more specific definition of terms that you guys would like to provide.
Janet, yeah, I would add to that. We like to think that we're on our way to the system automatically making the payments fully and not requiring, in most instances, not requiring any human, interaction with the process, but we're not there yet. So with e-pay, the system is doing a portion of the work for us, but you still have to have a payment person, review certain aspects of the claim. But auto pay is something that we are preparing for now, and hopefully next year this time most cases will be able to be paid, and we won't have to run a file and process them on a monthly basis. It's just like overnight the system will sweep and look for earnings and process payments on a daily basis. But for now, the system is supporting us in that we can access the earnings in a file to make payments to you.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to register for an audio question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Tripp Carter.
Hey, when the e-pay system kicks in, how old are the earnings going to be, or how recent will they be that you guys check to determine payments?
We will be looking at any earnings we have in our record. So it just determines, Katie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think from the various sources, it just depends on the ticket assignment date and the claim months that haven't been paid. So any claim month that hasn't been paid under the ticket assignment, if the earnings are there, I would think would be fair game. Katie, is that the way, am I right in saying that?
Right, that's correct. And we wouldn't go any further back than, and I don't know why we would have some cases, but we just would not go back further than July 2008. But that does not stop us from going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's when the payment system changed, so that's that makes very good sense, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you for that that clarification. Chip, is Chip still on the line? Do you have a follow-up question or?
Chip, if you would press star one if you have a follow-up question. You do have another question from Mark Marsh.
Hello again. I'm back. On the e-pay, the question is on reconciliations. I know in the old days, which wasn't so long ago, we would get a reconciliation after outcome 12. Is this e-pay now also going to pick up on reconciliations for unpaid phase two payments that might be discovered in the e-pay look back? That's the first question.
This is Katie Stravinger. I can speak to that. So the way the process works, if you've you know, skipped over the some phase two milestone payments and are already in outcome. When we get to outcome 12 and that payment is made, a reconciliation work case is automatically created in our system. A staff person has to look at that case, you know, to determine the correct amount, but you will automatically get the reconciliation payment is automatically created. So when you get to the outcome 12 and reach that payment, you will get the reconciliation payment that has already been coded in our system.
Great. That's great. And the other last question I'm going to ask is when the beneficiary has gone through, through work, has gone through the grace period, that would be the P2M1, 2, and 3, then outcomes occur. Does the beneficiary still have to continue reporting monthly wages to Social Security at that point or no?
This is Desiree. I didn't hear the first part of your question, but the last part, the answer to that is always, the beneficiary always should continue to report earnings to Social Security. If you can repeat the first part if you think it might make a difference, but I doubt it.
So, well, I guess what you're saying is that regardless of the outcome, the fact that a beneficiary has gone into outcomes, that they must continue to report their earnings
monthly.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I guess the first part of it was really significant. If the beneficiary is a Title II beneficiary, I mean, I would still say it's safe to report under certain circumstances. If they are terminated, if their benefits are terminated because of work and earnings, that's different than if they're in a suspense month, you know. So it's safe for them to report to the other, you know, like the local office, or if they're calling in to report or have that service under SSI, they should still report unless their benefits have been terminated for work and earnings.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. Thank you much.
Thank you, Mark.
And there are no further audio questions.
Okay. Do we have any additional chat questions?
I do, and this one is actually, I believe, they are just wanting to know how to navigate the new portal and trying to locate ticket assignability. And they discovered that there was an area that read no assignability history, and they just weren't clear on the terminology.
Okay. In the from the main menu on the new ticket portal, there is an option to list tickets assigned to me, and there's a way to see tickets that were formally assigned to me. So if you're looking for assignment history, you can go into that option. I believe it's the first option on the main menu, and you can look at your tickets that are currently assigned or tickets that have been formerly assigned to you. So there they should be able to see any ticket history. If they're looking for a particular, doing an SSN search and that SSN is coming up with no history, then it may not be a current T2 or T16 ticket holder. I don't know. If they have a specific question, certainly please give us a call at the systems help desk or the payments help desk team, and we can work with them in more detail on that.
Hi, this is Katie Stavridge. I just wanted to jump in.
Sure.
I thought maybe they were asking about checking the assignability of a particular SSN through the portal. So I'll just answer that just in case that was the question.
Right.
They're in the middle of the portal. There is a section assigned and unassigned beneficiaries. And the first link under there is check assignability by SSN. When you type in an SSN there, it will give you information about whether the ticket that you entered is assignable or not. If you see a message saying that there's no assignability history, that just means that the ticket has never been assigned. That does not mean the ticket is not assignable. If the ticket is assignable, you should see a button in the middle of the screen saying assign, this open assign a ticket. And by pushing that button, you will be taken to a screen where you can submit ticket assignment and perform that transaction. And if everything is in order, it will assign the ticket to you right then and there in real time. So even though I know it says an information about the assignability of the ticket, what you're really looking for if you're trying to assign that ticket is a button that will let you assign the ticket from there.
Okay, great, Katie. Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good detail. And the key thing, folks, is that you can assign tickets real time if you have reached that status, as an EN or VR. So, yes, there is that feature in the middle of the main menu there. Hopefully that answers the question that they had.
They did. And actually, there was another EN who wanted to know, will they still have the opportunity to call over the phone and check ticket assignability?
So as we mentioned on the earlier slide, as of end of day today, the IVR, the interactive phone system that we've had available for that type of transaction is being disabled today, end of day today. So going forward, again, it's very simple, as Katie had mentioned, to go in and check ticket assignability through the new ticket portal. If you're not a current user, we strongly encourage you to get registered and receive your access so you can do that in real time. Any additional questions from the chat?
I'm sorry, you do have an audio question?
Okay, great. Thank you, Shanika.
Ann Austin.
Hi, this is Ann Austin. It's a very simple question. What are you calling the password that you give new ENs? They used to get an IVR password. What are you calling the new password for new ENs?
Are you referring to your... are you referring to the IVR PIN that you were using to?
Yeah, previously, that's the password we use if we get an overpayment notice or we need to send a secured document. So when there's a new EN, because I often talk to new ENs, they would have some type of a password they would be utilizing to send secured documents. What are you calling that password?
Right. So that's a good question, Ann. We will continue to use that password for encryption if necessary. You can use it to send documents to us, and we may use it as well. At this point, going forward with the IVR being shut down, we will likely refer to it as an encryption PIN. And, in terms of the new terminology, we're still kind of bouncing that around. But an encryption PIN is likely what we're kind of leaning towards. But you can continue to use that password if you do need to send secure documents to us. We do have those passwords accessible for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there are no other audio questions.
Excellent. All right, we have one from the chat.
Okay, the question is, with the new ePay process that will be coming forward during the ticket portal process, will there be potential overpayments? And if so, will the EINs be asked to repay?
I mean, we still have human interaction as part of the process, so we could potentially pay you a payment that you are not due. And in that instance, we would recover the overpayment. But the earnings in our system are good earnings, and if we process the rest of the claim properly, then there shouldn't be a problem. But just because we are initiating the payment doesn't absolve the EN from having to repay a payment that was improperly initiated.
Okay, great. Thank you for that clarification, Desiree. We have one additional question in the chat room.
Okay, so the question is, why is the EN certification of services listed as an option for additional documentation to be faxed in? They are under the impression that the COS is no longer a requirement to be submitted.
When we started doing this, building this system, we probably still had COS as a part of the process, but it's better to have that flexibility to submit it if we need to. I mean, providing certain key services that are stated in the IWP are necessary. There are certain services that need to be initiated as part of developing the IWP. And when we stopped requiring the documents, we did not the submission of the documents, the requirement that what they represent, that's still in place as a contract requirement. So those documents could be requested in connection with, a review if necessary. So you don't need to submit those things routinely with your payment request, but they are there in case a payment technician needs them and requests them.
Great. Thanks, Desiree, for that clarification. As you may have also noticed, there's an option to fax in an IWP, and it's for the same purpose as Desiree explained. If there is a need to have that sent in as a follow-up, then there is the option available there. So good point, good question, good clarification. All right. Any additional questions, Shanika, on the phone line?
There are no additional questions.
Okay, great. And in the chat, any last questions, Kathy?
Okay, we do have a last question here. It's from Deborah, and she's asking, should EINs expect to see any written correspondence regarding a beneficiary going forward as it pertains to assignments, unassignments, TWPs, et cetera?
Yes, you will receive notices in those instances.
Mm-hmm. So the current notices that you're receiving, there will be future correspondence that will be generated as well, if that's what the question was. Okay. Very good. Well, wow, this was a great session. Lots of great questions. I'm happy to hear the positive feedback from several of the callers in regards to their experience with the new ticket portal. Again, we want to encourage those who are not using the ticket portal yet to go to the yourtickettowork.com website, go to our information center, look to the left for the ticket portal tab, and review all of the requirements needed to get registered and receive your login and the training information to help you automate your processes, receive and benefit from the real-time access that the ticket portal provides, and you know, get on board with us. We're very excited about the product, and again, we thank you for joining us today. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up for the day. You will have audio and the presentation available and accessible on our website under the events tab. Next month, we will be meeting again on the last Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We encourage you to send any requests for topics to our EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com, or follow up and give us a call on those topics. Again, thank you for your participation today, and remember tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern, for those that are registered for the new ticket portal, we will be hosting another orientation session, and we look forward to hearing you participate in that session, and also keep in mind the detailed Ticket Training Tuesday sessions we're planning in July. Thanks again, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.